You're listening to the Metaphysical Mentor Podcast with Michael Philpott, providing you inspiration, information, knowledge, and motivation to help you on your soul's path. Covering topics related to health and happiness from the mystical to the metaphysical and everything in between. Making the unknown known. Now let's join the podcast to discover today's topic. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. This is the Metaphysical Mentor Podcast, and I'm your host, Mr. Michael Philpott, and we're going to have a fantastic show. But like I always say that, all my shows are fantastic because all my guests are fantastic. So Kelly, my friend, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited about this episode today. We're going to be talking about manifesting, the law of attraction, and all that stuff. But Kelly, before we get going, I have to do this at every show, every beginning. I have to thank all my listeners. I have to thank all those people on Spotify and Apple. And if you're listening on Apple, do me a favor, give it a 5-star. Let people know that I exist. Also, too, I actually have a YouTube channel. It needs some support. So hopefully Kelly's going to teach me how to manifest some YouTube people here, some subscribers today. And hopefully that will be you. And also, if you find this information, if you find it helpful and you really enjoy it and you find that it's inspiring, I do have a donation link in each episode description because you, the listener, is the one that's funding this show. So if you want to give it a little extra love, you can make a monthly donation. Anything, any denomination will be fantastic. Kelly, so how do I go about manifesting some YouTube subscribers?
Well, I did, so I'm sure you can do it too.
Well, that's why I have the master here. And I've always wanted to have a conversation about the law of attraction. Because I know a lot of people who start their journey, always the one thing they always talk about is that first thing we kind of learn is about the law of attraction. Or I like to maybe change it. What do you think about this? It's the law of vibration and frequency. Would that be a more accurate term of that?
Far more accurate.
More accurate. So when did you start, you know, delving into the law of attraction and start studying that and start teaching this? When did it really start for you?
Oh gosh, I would say 2010. I heard the first thing that I really resonated with. It was a meditation that was playing off of somebody's phone on a beach in Mexico that was not even near me. I could just hear it. And I thought, oh my gosh, that sounds really good. And so I entered a rabbit hole that has gone increasingly deeper and wider as I've gone along. But I really got into, I'm somebody that really wants to know the validity of things. I love all of the metaphysical aspects. I'm highly intuitive. I've always subscribed to everything metaphysical, but I have such a skeptical mind in a good way. I want to know the proof and I want to know why this works and how it works. And so I delved into learning about quantum physics, which is a huge rabbit hole, but it basically is able to help describe via science what's really behind the law of vibration. And we often hear the law of allowing, and there seems to be all these moving parts, except it's actually quite simple when you boil it down. And so I started really applying it in my life. I said, you know what, I'm going to do an experiment and I'm going to take the things I've learned, streamline it, and practice this solidly every day, because consistency is unbelievably important. And I started doing that. And within literal months, it maybe within the first couple months, all of a sudden I had my dream business and I bought my dream car, and it just never stopped. All of a sudden things were just coming, and I thought, oh my gosh, it's so unbelievably simple when you're able to really boil it down. And I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of, oh, say positive affirmations all day. But positive affirmations really might not do anything for someone, but attract the opposite in the end based on their vibration. Wow. So I've been going since then. I started teaching it a couple years ago. Obviously, as you know, I work in health. And I noticed there were some people that were just not seeming to be able to get results, no matter what I did physically. It doesn't matter what diet they had. It doesn't matter. They weren't healing. And that really intrigued me. And I thought, you know, their vibration, our vibration sets up the cornerstone of our health in different ways. And And so I threw caution to the wind and I thought, if they're open to it, I'm going to teach them all of these aspects. And sure enough, person after person after person after person with this piece was finally, their bodies were healing. And it was just so gratifying. So I thought, you know, I want to just completely start teaching this. I still work in health, of course, but this is my passion. And now this is basically all I want to teach and all I want to talk about in the end.
Yeah. You know, and that was one of the things, because I've been seeing a lot of your posts, because I've been following you for a while now, and I've always found that they were so inspirational and they're right to the point. And you do have a vast knowledge of everything. You're like an encyclopedia when it comes to health and lifestyle. And I was just like going, okay, that makes sense. So what do you think is some of the misconceptions about the law of attraction?
Really, what I've boiled it down to are there are three reasons people are not good at it. And those are the exact same reasons that the people who don't believe in it don't believe in it. It's always the same. And number one, there are, I say, four important aspects to really become familiar with. And the first, the law of vibration works such that vibration with vibration, like attracts like. And whatever your vibration is, you are going to attract more of the same. And so what I really became the aha thing for me originally was you have to match the vibration of what you're wanting to attract identically. And if you're matching it identically, that means you can't say, oh, if I ever get all this money, I'll do this. And you could say something really positive. I'll do all these wonderful things with this money. And if I ever lose weight or whatever, I'll do all these wonderful things. You're saying if, and so to your psyche and your subconscious, that says it might not even be possible. And so you're not matching it identically.
Okay. So just, sorry, I'm going to probably interrupt you a lot because there's a lot of golden nuggets in this. So, okay. So it's the language we're using too, as well. So you're saying, if I say, if that is basically telling my subconscious mind that it's not going to happen. Is that what we're doing?
That it might not be possible.
Might not be possible. Okay.
Yeah. And so if you want to match the vibration identically, and then you take into account that the vibration is how you feel. And so if you want to match that identically, and let's say you want to get healthy, then you want to match what it feels like to be healthy, not to one day when, if, because that's not right now. And if we look at quantum physics, all that exists is right now. There is no future and there is no past. It's right now. And so in order to match it identically, then you'd have to play essentially a game of make-believe. And you'd have to make believe that right now you already had whatever. It has to be present moment. And that's how to match it. And I think so many people get confused because they set themselves apart with if and when. And a lot of people, let's say they're saying really positive affirmations, the feeling in their gut is that yearning, that needing, that wanting, and that yearning comes from lack. We only yearn and we only really want because we're noticing what we don't have. And so it's that feeling that we really have to check in on and think, okay, am I feeling healthy? And it's been proven psychologically in neuroscience, it's proven that we can actually evoke an emotion to an event that has not yet happened. All it takes is practice. Because a lot of people will say, well, I've been in chronic pain my whole life. How do I just feel like I have no pain? And the beauty of it is we don't have to be literal. We can go general and think, okay, well, if I had no pain, what are the types of emotions that I would feel? Because the emotion is the vibration. So I would feel relief. I would feel gratitude. And then you start to practice that. So is there a memory in your past where you felt relief, where you felt gratitude? Luckily, it doesn't have to do with the same subject at all. And we can practice that. And we imagine we already feel that way. That the subconscious is really amazing in that it cannot tell the difference between what is going on in our bodies or our lives or what we're imagining if the emotion is attached. And this goes both ways. And so a lot of people worry and, you know, we can attract that too.
So what do you say to the person that can't feel or doesn't have the ability to feel? Because this is one of the things that I personally struggled with. And I know a lot of people that I've talked to over the thing, it has a problem with feeling those positive emotions. and even take it a step further, have no reference point in their past to feel any positive emotions. So if somebody said, express joy, joy, what the frick is joy? I have no idea what joy is. I never had any joy. I don't understand that. What are you talking about? Joy or happiness? I don't think I've ever been in a state of happiness before, you know? So how do we get past that?
So I'll just throw a little tiny bit of neuroscience to make sense of it very quickly. But every cell in our brain is like a little ball, and it's covered in hundreds of tiny little antenna. Every antenna is specific to a type of emotion. And every 2 months, these cells will divide and multiply. The new ones remain, the old ones washed away by the body. Our body is constantly doing this. And the new cell that remains is going to have way more antenna on it, or emotional receptor sites, for whatever emotions we were feeling a lot of during the previous 2 month span, and way less receptor sites or way less antenna for whatever we weren't feeling much of during that previous 2 months. So when someone says, I'm not able to feel joy, I can't feel happy, I've been depressed for so long, I work with lots of that. And it's because over those months, 2 months on 2 months on 2 months, if they're feeling more depressed in that 2 months, they're going to be really hard pressed to think positively. And so all you reach for is the next better feeling thought. So that's where you're kind of at the beginning, in a good way. If somebody's listening who's in this situation, it's kind of a good thing, because you have a blank slate that you're working from. And so all you do is you start to monitor when you really feel bad, because this person will likely feel bad more of their day than good. And so notice when you feel bad, notice the thought. 95% of our thoughts are subconscious, and we have 70,000 thoughts a day. So we have so much we can work with. And so when a thought comes in, what's the next better feeling thought I have access to? It might not be a good thought. It might still be a bad thought, but is it at least 1% better feeling than the previous one? And then they'll think that, okay, then what's the next better feeling thought I have access to? And they might hit a wall and they might get tired, and that's okay, because it's just about practice, but it takes consistency. After the age of 35, our brains are an ingrained set of belief systems and patterning. So it will take work, and it will take consistent work. And it can be annoying, because you're not going to feel this changing as it's changing. But one day you're going to wake up and you're going to feel happy, and you're going to be like, what the heck? I feel so happy for no reason. It's just now you have more receptor sites. And as you nurture this, if you can imagine, 2 months on 2 months on 2 months. And I'm in love with the fact that it doesn't matter what the thought is about. And that's what a lot of people get hung up on. There could be four things going on in our lives, and one is going okay, the rest are going terribly. It's the human condition to focus on the ones going bad in an effort to repair them.
Of course.
Whatever we focus on grows. And so if you turn your focus to the one thing going well, even if it has nothing to do with the rest, by law of vibration, they must then improve. Okay. So that's how I would tackle that.
Okay. Yeah. Because that was one of the concerns that, I know I can speak from my own thing. It's just to learn how to feel those things. And especially after this past year, I was not in good shape. And this past year to feel good, like physically to feel good. And then you also have any mental stuff along with that to make you not feel good. So it's like in that mindset where, how do I get out of it? But it's really consistency. So it's almost like if I was going to go to the gym and I wanted to build muscle. Is it same constant idea? So it's not like, I got to lift a million pounds, this thing. It's that incremental, slowly developing those neural pathways within the brain, so that whatever you're doing, it's basically like, I guess you're reprogramming that subconscious mind. It's just repetition, 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 but in a fun way. But at the beginning, it sounds so freaking exhausting to try to monitor those thoughts.
It's lucky we don't have to really monitor our thoughts, but we have to catch when we feel really bad. And when you notice you're feeling bad, what is the thought going on in my mind? What am I thinking of right now that I feel so bad? What is another thought that just feels a little bit better? And I like to use with my clients, I like to use the analogy of a video game. Most of us have played video games. And we can go back to the old school ones where you have this character that moves along and it dies and it goes right back to the beginning. So you could have passed a few levels and you're right back to the beginning, but there are checkpoints. And if you pass a checkpoint and then your character dies, you only go back to that checkpoint. You're not going back to the beginning anymore. And so every 2 months is a checkpoint. And so I tell my
clients. So 2 months, yeah. This is the thing. So if you can stick with something for 2 months, you've already built that process. So you're at that checkpoint.
You're at the first checkpoint. Yeah.
You'll have
four receptor sites.
So 2 months.
Yeah. Okay. And so it's, you want to keep going, obviously, and you want to keep being consistent. But after 6 months, you'd feel like a totally different person in a really good way.
Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. I like that because it doesn't seem too insurmountable. Mm-hmm. 2 months. Now, with this, the idea that, you know, feeling and stuff like that. So if you have no set point, how do you invoke that vibration or the thought of that feeling? Is it more the thought of the feeling? So if I think, I'm thinking joy, what would joy be like? Even though physically I can't feel it in my body, is it still the process of thinking joy? Because joy in itself, there's a vibration to that word.
Yes, there is a vibration to the word. It's definitely the feeling in the body, but if you can think a thought that makes you feel better, it will lead to joy and you will feel joy. You will. And it's also a practice of make-believe. You know, children, they live in a world of make-believe. And as adults, we lose, it's a skill to play make-believe and we lose that. And so it's about pretending and how good are we at playing pretend, because it really makes a massive difference that way. So I always just go back to what kinds of things do you think you might feel if you felt really good? Like if you weren't sick in the body or if you had money in the bank account or whatever the person is wanting. And the two most powerful emotions, whether we look at neuroscience, quantum physics, or everything metaphysical, the two most powerful emotions are relief and gratitude.
Okay, so let's talk on those two things.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important. So relief,
mm-hmm.
And gratitude, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
So gratitude, yeah, I've heard that for sure. So how do we get in a, okay, so let's, I'll play devil advocate here. So like I'm one of my listeners here and it's like, all right, my life's shit.
Yeah.
Things are a mess. And I'm sure you have your clients come to you as like, okay, I'm not feeling well. This is happening, blah, blah, blah. This is happening, all blah, blah. My life is a shit storm. Mm-hmm. How do I feel gratitude for what's happening around me when my life is so chaotic, so drama, and I just have these ungodful feelings and traumas that's stored within myself? So how do I feel gratitude when my life was basically a shit storm?
Yeah. And that's heavy and that it can feel absolutely overpowering. And one thing to think of is, again, we always have to think of the make believe, but sometimes life is so heavy, it's really hard. And so one part of it is I would say, you know, things that you have now, even if there are bad things happening, you once wanted those things. And if we can think of, okay, what am I really grateful for right now? Like what can I actually be grateful for? And I'll go very simple, even with myself, is I'll think I can actually go to the store and buy organic food. That's amazing. Like I'm really grateful. I don't have to set up a tent outside and I'm very grateful about that. And some of my clients, I get them to write down the wins every day because it's helpful to explain this. Actually, there's a center in our brain. We'll call it the RA for short. And its job is to filter subconsciously our entire environment for whatever we're focused towards.
So is that the reticulating activating system?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The RAS, so, or I guess they call it RAS sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
RAS or RA, but as we can train that to be focused on things that are good and that we are grateful for. And it takes a little time, but once you get it and so I get my clients to write down wins every day.
I like that. I'm gonna put that one down.
As you write these down, my clients will say to me, you know, Kelly, I didn't have a win all week. And I will challenge that head on. I'll say, do you have, and it might not be the case for them, but Do you have two legs that both work? Because you have no idea what kind of a challenge it could be to not have legs that work. Like, it's amazing. Do you have your sight? Can you, you know, there are things that are dramatic wins. We just don't think of them anymore because we're just so used to it. And so it takes practice. And at the start, mine was ridiculous. Mine said, oh, I didn't break my yolks when I made my eggs this morning. Epic win. Like, it could be the silliest little things, but the point is you're training the RAS. And so it will start to scan your environment for things to be grateful for without you even having to really pick it out anymore. And that's really important. So I always say, like, look at look at everything, no matter how seemingly ridiculous it is to you. There are things to be grateful for. There are things to be thankful for. And there is always some, and I don't like to use, you know, there's always somebody in a worse situation. I don't like to compare situations, but if it has come to that and somebody cannot find anything they're grateful for, it can help to think, you know what, my situation, I have a lot of amazing resources. I really do. I know a lot of amazing people, and yeah, there are things. You just have to really get good at practicing.
I fully understand that, because one of the things I learned, you know, early on is that there is always somebody. So when you're in your muck, when you're in your shit, something like that, you always have to remember there's somebody who has it worse than you do, even 10 times worse than you. And sometimes that can help me switch when it's like, I kind of feel, you know, sorry for myself and I'm not feeling well, I'll just flick that switch. And I fully understand this past year, you know, dealing with my cancer. Oh, fuck me. Oh, pardon. I'm going to have to edit that one out, but you know, I'm going to leave it in anyways, but I'll tell you, like, being grateful. It really changed the aspect, like the smallest little things. Now I still have a lot of problems I'm dealing with, but for the most part, I'm 100% better than I was. Like, the ability to swallow, even to talk, like, I wasn't able to talk for a long time, to even actually enunciate and talk, things like that. Small little things, taste. That was a big thing. So anybody who's a foodie and loves food, I wasn't able to taste for almost 6 months. And anything that I did taste, tasted like mercury. So if you can imagine what mercury tasted like, it was gone awful. So when I remember having that first, I was like craving, because all you can just think about when you can't have food and you're not eating, all you do is think about food, right? And when you're sitting there, like, the problem was, is I was watching TV a lot, because that's all I could do, is I lie on the couch, recover, watch TV, and you just see all these food shows and you're watching all this steak and stuff like that. It's like, oh my God, that steak would be so. So when I first had a steak, I was craving it, but I still couldn't taste it. But there was part of me, I could still remember, my brain was telling me that the steak is good. So it's kind of like that same thing where your brain is just rewiring that. But the idea of gratitude, and it's really good. I'm glad you have it, because it just reframes me sometimes. Because sometimes I get lost in the details and not paying attention to that, all the small little things. And it is the small, simple stuff that it's just amazing how we just take it for granted, especially when it comes to our health.
There's something I always like to say, and it is, are you enjoying your current manifestation? We are goal-oriented beings. We're solution-focused and goal-oriented as humans, just naturally, neurologically, that's how we are. And so we could, you know, have this amazing life that we've built, but our brains are on to the next. And so there's a lot to be said for really enjoying where you're at. And it seems counterintuitive, because we feel like, well, if we're just sitting in and enjoying this, we're going to attract more of this. We're not going to move forward. But that's actually not the truth. The best state to be in is enjoying everything you can, just looking for things to appreciate. And you can train yourself to automatically do that. But at first, look for things to appreciate, and then be in positive expectation about what's to come. And expectation is a fabulous key word there. It's massively important, because to expect means we know it's coming. And it's a very difficult thing to conceptualize when you don't feel that way. But I can't describe how amazing it is when the automation comes in to the brain. We spend time creating these new neural pathways. It's much like, in real life, a train track is your neural pathway and the train is the thought. your trains, even in real life, are not going to take to a new track until the completion of its build. They would crash and burn. And so your thoughts are the same. And all of a sudden, your brain does things automatically. We have actually trained our subconscious all along to be however it is over as a series of, you know, subconscious thoughts and patterning and belief systems. And a belief is just a thought you keep thinking. So if you practice thoughts, you will one day believe the thought, and it's not that far away.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So to get that expectation, to expect something coming. So if I like, it's almost like, you know, this is something I want to talk about too, is about prayer versus mm-hmm. the idea of thought. So if I, let's say, you know, I'm working on trying to manifest a new car or a new job or something, even a partner, that seems to be a lot of thing these days too, as well, is like, you know, a lot of people are looking for that. So to expect that. So part of that thing is that, would you say that I have to get in the feeling of the expectation of the feelings that that person, job, money, car will actually make me feel? Is that what we're looking for?
So we don't have to be specific. And I always tell people you can choose. So if it helps someone to be specific, and they want to really imagine they have this specific partner, and that elevates their feeling, your feeling lifts up, you feel excited or happy or any but above neutral emotion, then that's great. For a lot of people, focusing on specific is going to make them feel worse. They'll feel a below neutral emotion. So to go more general, so when you put it out, I say put it out to the universe or hand it over to God. You could say God, you could say the universe. To me, it's the same essence, really. And so hand it over to God, put it over to the universe. It's got it. Like, that's there. And you can ask one time and that's all that you need. And then if you just go around looking for things to appreciate, feeling as good as possible, that will come about. The problem that I see a lot of people run into is they think they want this, whatever, this partner or whatnot, and they focus on that. They're closing themselves off to something that could be better, that they could actually feel better about. And so I always say, to me, it's more important to go general, because you might see, feel, experience something better in future. You just think that this is the height of what you want. And there's another big aspect is not to try to manifest a how. So for example, money,
okay.
A lot of people try to manifest money. It's not the money that they want to manifest. So they're so focused on the money. That's not what they want. They want whatever they would do with the money, but they're so focused on feeling that they need the money to do whatever. That creates so much resistance. So if you can let go of the how, the money, and go start thinking about whatever would actually happen with that money. What would you spend it on? What would you do with it? Because money is actually neutral. Some people could feel good or you could feel bad. Like, money is a how, and the how is none of our business. The how actually comes to us, but that's what a lot of people miss. So someone might be focusing on weight loss and that's what they're really focused on. That's neutral. What would feel so good about losing the weight? That's where you need to go. And the how comes to us. And then that's that third piece, is really focusing on letting go of the how, but noticing inspired action when it comes. Because a manifestation won't come from just matching the vibration. We can match the vibration. It's not going to fly out of the sky into our face. But
what? Really?
Right?
Come on.
Why is this person in my bed? What's happening? You will start to get inspired action. And almost everybody misses this piece that I coach. Inspired action, there are certain ways it could come, but it's just going to be an aha moment. It's that, I have a great idea. And 9 times out of 10, it's going to get squashed immediately by logic. Your logic is going to squash it, because you're going to think, oh, that's unrealistic. Or, oh, like, usually it's something that you would not think about yourself. And so that's how it gets squashed. We have this thought come into our head and we're like, what? And so we just carry on, when there's the manifestation. If you follow the inspired action, in my life, it's always been terrifying. Always. It's always made zero sense. It's been terrifying. And it's been something that I would never think of on my own. But I'm relentless. And so I'll just follow it because I just know I've had enough. And this is for everyone. When you have enough proof, you will not care anymore. You will follow it because you just see it keep happening. And so that's what I would say is really watch for inspired action. And it could
also. So how do you trust that inspired action? Because you may be getting it and the universe is like banging you on the head, like inspired action, but how do you trust that? And again, if you don't have a set point for trust, because if your life is a shitstorm, everything's a mess and you have that and everything seems to be kind of going right. You have that inspired action, source is bringing that to you, God, whoever you want to call it, is bringing you that. And all of a sudden, like you're not paying attention to it because you said like the logic part of it, but you dismiss it because we do that all the time. So how do we recognize it? Like, how do we recognize it? Actually, it's not coming from a place, like you say, it's fearful. So how do you manage that fear? Because if it's coming from, if it makes you fearful, you're less likely to take that action.
That's true. I myself and what I coach is to start with the little things. If you're sitting at your desk and you're banging away at whatever report you need to do or whatever you're doing, and you get an inkling, oh, I need to get up and get a cup of water. I'll just finish this. Like that is, so you need to practice. No, I'm going to get up, get a cup of water and come sit back down. And I say this with my weight loss clients a billion times over because they'll have the inspired action to go for a quick walk, but they're like, oh, I should just do this, whatever, or get up and get the cup of water. I'll finish this first. Your body is giving you what it needs all the time. And we override it 9 times out of 10, we just squash it. And so I always say, start with the little things, start to pay attention to things that you fluff off, like start to notice the thoughts and you'll notice them. As soon as you set the intention to notice the thoughts, they will stand out more to you. And so that's what I say. And then with the other scary things, for example, my business, I really wanted my business to be 6 figures, wouldn't have to worry about it, just so I could help people everywhere, wouldn't be in debt anymore. That's what I wanted. We think it has to happen a certain way. I thought I'd have to build these funnels and I'd have to blah, blah, blah. And that's what I was focused on. Meanwhile, I'm in the shower one day and I get this random idea to go live on TikTok. What? I would never go live on the internet when I had that come in. No way would I ever do that. Absolutely mortified, especially not with like a full face of makeup and whatever. But I thought, oh my goodness, that must be inspired action. What's the worst thing that's going to happen to me if I press that live button? I don't know, dreadful embarrassment for 5 seconds, whatever. So I put a robe on and I pressed the button. And I was like, who the heck am I going to talk to? What am I even going to talk about? I was so nervous. I was shaking, but I just started blabbering on about interesting things that most people don't know. And the next day I had over 50,000 followers and I was booked for 3 to 6 months. And it's like, how fast could I have just been like, oh, that's ridiculous, and just gone about my day? Like it happens. And so it's things like that, that just, I can catch it. A, if it's something I feel like I can just fluff off, that's a key, could be the little get a cup of water thing. Or B, is it something that I know I wouldn't have thought of myself? Because a lot of people get stuck in that how, and a true manifestation, according to all laws, science, and metaphysical as well, it has to, must, and can only come from the unknown. And so you could sit there for hours and days on end thinking about how you're going to achieve anything, whether it be health or a bank account, and you're never going to be able to come up with how it actually happens. Because everything that I've seen happen for my clients, as well as myself, I could have sat forever thinking and we would never have guessed how it actually happened. It's always this random, like, what? Like it's almost unbelievable how things happen.
I think that's part of the fun of it, is like, it's the analogy I've always heard. It's like Christmas.
Yeah.
And again, this is again, if you celebrate Christmas, but for Christmas, for the idea is that, you know, you ask for a gift and you, sometimes you get it, you don't get it, but it's that anticipation of getting the present in the morning. You're revved up. Like, how's this going to happen? You don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to get that, but that's that feeling that you get, excuse me, in the morning. And I always kind of like that idea, is that you know, there is that anticipation, like, you know, I kind of like, okay, how's this going to happen? You know, in that some ways, like, you know, where's it going to come from? That like, get that kind of excitement and trying to like, not to get the how, cause I've been very much on stuck in the how for so many, how in the hell is this going to happen? There's no way this is going to happen, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden it's these random things that get going and it's like, oh shit, how's that going to happen? And it's one thing I've noticed even about the podcast is like now I used to struggle like how I'm going to get guests, how am I going to get this guest, how am I going to get that guest. And now I'm just kind of relaxing. I don't stress about it. And then all of a sudden I'm getting these emails and I'm getting emails from publishers and publicists. Now it's like, I don't even have to do anything. I just, okay. Yeah. That person sounds good. That's great. Let's book that person in. Yeah. So it is a pretty cool idea that you can get into it and you get into that flow and start noticing it more and more. But I really think the idea was it's about repetition.
Yes.
So let's talk about the idea about repetition. So is it more just mind body, or I should say thought feeling, or is it a mind body spirit idea where it's a combination of stuff? Because you have to get the body feeling good too. So let's say I'm not feeling well, I'm overweight, I've got high blood pressure, you know, almost diabetic, you know, all these different things, I got all these physical problems. Is it the first thing to get feeling physically better? And that will help with the mental, how I mentally thinking, and that'll help with the feeling?
No, it's definitely mental first.
Mental first. Yeah. All right. So explain that.
Yeah, the body could be in total disarray. And so I had a client who was told they would never walk again. And their body, they couldn't even feel really. Like it wasn't even logical to think of how this person was going to do this by feeling physically. So it's always mental, emotional, because your emotions are the vibration. And so we don't have to feel good in our bodies at all. But can we teach our bodies by thinking of what it would, a future would be like? So can we, you know, think and feel? It's definitely mental, physical, and spiritual in the end, but it's the feeling within your body. So, and by that, I mean the emotion in your body. We have gut feelings, and it's the same way I teach about making a decision. If there's a decision that your logic is really loud about, and it's a big decision in your life, and you can't decide neither here nor there, can you just get quiet for a moment and feel into your body? And are you getting a rise in energy? You might feel those butterflies and, you know, those kinds of feelings, or are you feeling that gut wrenching, you know, that same thing as the yearning? It's that lowering of energy and it just feels physically bad. Our body can give us physical feelings in terms of our emotions, but it's definitely mental first. And then spiritual is the aspect of God/the universe working with us. Okay. So it has to be all three.
Yeah. Cause I was always curious like that, because even if you think about the medical model, when you go in for a diagnosis or anything else, it's always physical, chemical, you know, emotional, right? So they're trying to get you well. So if you get one working well, it helps you do the other one. So if you can physically get a feeling a little bit better, you know, let's say again, you had a few pounds, you're not feeling well about how your appearance is. So you take some of that and you start working with the physical body. So now I've lost a couple of pounds. I feel pretty good about myself, right? So it builds on that repetition. And a lot of people talk about, you know, getting the body first, because the body is, you know, or say feelings are the language of the body and thoughts are the, thoughts are the language of the brain, right? Yes. So they're trying to get that situated, right? So if you can get the body, because it's all about the feelings, right? From my understanding, mm-hmm. right? It's that feeling, right? So mm-hmm. if you can get it, because if you're not in your body, because we've always heard that expression, like, you know, I'm not in my body. And mm-hmm. I was probably seeing with your clients, like, I don't feel, I'm not in, you know, I'm not in tune with what's happening in my body.
Yeah.
They don't recognize that. So how do we get in tuned with our body?
So one thing to know is that your cells are constantly always responding to your emotions. So they've done studies where, let's just talk about weight loss, because it's an easy example, but I mean this for anything physical. But let's say these people are walking around every time they pass a reflection, ugh, I'm fat, or I can't lose weight. Nothing works for me. And they're just feeling their cells, their metabolism goes, okay, slows right down. But then you get someone that has lost that pound or so, and they think, oh, the more you notice, the more you notice. So the more you're noticing improvement, the more you improve. But when you have an uninterrupted, so when you get a good enough at practicing that you have an uninterrupted feeling of gratitude about anything whatsoever, you're not thinking about your body, but that's really what you want to improve, but you feel good about something else all of a sudden, the physical cells will begin to respond within 16 seconds. So science has shown. And so they're constantly listening. But to get back into the body, I always tell people, how much time do you spend with yourself? How much time do you spend loving your body? Because most people are completely at odds with their body. They have an autoimmune disease. The body's their enemy. They have cancer. They hate this cancer, obviously. And so the body is, yeah. And so it's many, many people. I work with, you know, my cancer patients all the time. And we are at such odds with our body and weight loss too. They're overweight. They hate their bodies. And so you need to build a good relationship with your body. And it's how much time do we spend loving our bodies? And how much time do we spend with ourselves at all? You know, I looked back at my own track record when I was in school and I was young. I hadn't gotten into the health realm yet. First thing I did in the morning was look at the phone. And then I looked at my phone while I made my coffee. I sat down and I turned on the TV. And then I have my phone here and the TV is on. And then I get in my car and I turn on the radio and I'm listening to whatever. And I get to school and now I'm at school surrounded. And I get in the car and then I turn on the TV. And all of a sudden, what the heck? Like, I haven't spent a single second with myself. And so that's something that's really important to catch. There's so much about our bodies to love. There is so much. And the basic vibration of the universe or the vibration of God is love. That is the exact same. It's the exact same frequency if you measure it. And so it's really interesting to think about that when you're trying to get in touch with your body. There's so much to the body to love. And if we love our bodies into wellness, it does work and it will happen. We can speak to our organs at any time, all the time. And your organs respond to being communicated with.
So that's, you know, that was, you know, a perfect segue because I was thinking the same thing because I've heard, you know, they talk about body talk in some ways. Now they're not the treatment body talk, but actually talking to your liver and actually going through your body and going, hey, liver, how you doing today?
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, hey, kidneys, what's going on with you today? You know, I love you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And actually practicing that. And it's interesting. I've heard studies with that where like they did brain scans on people who actually practice that versus other thing. And I think it even goes back to the Emoto study when Dr. Emoto talked about the idea with water and that whole principle. But yeah, it's a really interesting thing because I was trying to think when I heard about that. And I always thought it was kind of corny, you know, it's like, oh, talk to my liver. Yeah, I'll talk to my liver. It's like, damn you, come on. I got a few more glasses of wine I needed to process. What's going on, brother? Help me out here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do really love that idea. And it's so simple too. And it's like, I take it, if you can't find time to love yourself, find something outside. Let's say, for example, you may not be feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like your body and you have that self-talk and there's someone else, but you have a pet, right? And you can love that pet. So it's actually the same thing because you talk to your pets. The people who have pets, they love their pets. They're like their little animals, their babies, their fur babies. They have that such love and attention to it. But take that same attention and love and just flip it and give it to yourself for a change and say the same talk because it's interesting. People talk to their cats and their dogs and they're not communicating. I mean, they're communicating, you know, non-verbally. But it's the same thing. You can do that to yourself, which is, you know, so all those animal lovers out there, it'd be, if you, maybe a good start to start talking to yourself that way. But I just found it very interesting how we could flip that and reframe it just a bit. Yeah. It just, and it's always those things like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Imagine. So we have our organs. Imagine if our organs were our pets. When our pet gets cancer, do we just hate on that pet and we damn it? And we, you know, absolutely not. We want to give it extra love and really pour love into it. Same with our friends. If I have a friend that gets sick, I'm not going to hate on it like I do my body when I'm sick. You know, it's very interesting. And they've actually done these studies, and animals are the fastest way in many cases to trigger that positive feeling. But beyond that, I get a lot of clients that are stuck. They can't heal. And if I'm just going right into the physical, how I'm helping their physical body, I'll actually say, what's your passion? What's your hobby? Oh, that doesn't matter. It's photography. It doesn't matter. Well, what are we doing about photography? Are you doing anything? Are you excited about anything? Haven't really picked up my camera. How about, can we pick up the camera and can we just focus on your photography? And it's amazing what happens, because they'll focus on this. They'll get excited. They'll start. I always give them a project to do with their hobby or passion. They'll focus on this project that now they have to do. And all of a sudden the body starts changing, because they have released the resistance. Wherever we take our focus away from, the cork will float. And it doesn't matter that the photography has nothing to do with their body. Their body must improve if we take the focus away from it. And so that's something really interesting to note as well.
So basically, you're kind of, you know, distracting them from their perceived reality of their body, so that they can find, because there was some joy in what they were doing. So it's kind of retraining them. It's kind of a sneaky way of tricking them to kind of go. It's like, you know, it's like, take your greens. No, I don't like greens, but you know, it's like the same way. It's kind of like tricking them. No, you need to have your greens in your diet. Come on, let's go here. Like, we'll put it in a powdered drink form or something, but it's that reframing and redirecting them to get that focusing on that joy. I really think that's a kind of a cool thing.
I'll say, during that 1 week of working on this hobby, set an intention before you start that week that you're going to notice little tiny pieces of inspired action. All of a sudden, they're going to be inspired to drink more water. All of a sudden, they're going to get inspired to walk more. It's a natural, it will happen. So it's interesting.
So how do you deal with really skepticals and really hard-nosed cases? Because I'm sure you've had a few of them over.
Yeah.
So like, how much do you have to bang your head against the thing to get these people to really start believing or start drinking the Kool-Aid and to understand and show them that this stuff does work? And because the one thing I've always, you know, I found about your work is that you simplify it enough. But it's the simplification, but it's the practical simplification. Sorry. This is the problem with, you know, post-cancer is I don't have no saliva glands, so it's hard for me to talk. But it's that post, you know, that that way that they can actually just do this and they don't struggle with it. So how do you really kind of get to these people? Like, because they're probably got there's a wall up going, all right, Kelly. Let's see this bullshit thing that you're talking about, the law of attraction, getting healthy. My mind is thinking, my feelings. Let me tell you about my feelings. Let me just give you the middle finger right now. You know what I mean?
I get a lot of them.
So how do you break through?
I always say, all right, let's go then. Tell me what you're struggling with the belief in. And they'll tell me, and they could even back it up with all these reasons why they'll never believe in whatever. And I say, okay, I'm not going to tell you to believe in it. Don't believe in anything that I say, but try it. And can you prove me wrong then? And let's go that way. Just prove me wrong. But I always come with the education behind it. So I will teach, in layman terms, of course, a little bit of quantum physics. And a little bit of things, I'll show case study upon case study that they want to see that have worked. I'll show testimonials. What really gets a person to believe is if they can see the same piece of information from three different sources that they can somewhat trust, doesn't even have to be full on trusting these sources, but if they can see it from three irrefutable sources, the brain will automatically subscribe to this and begin to think it's okay to give it a chance. And obviously, if somebody's coming to me, like, I'm not going out to people to try to work with them, they come to me. And if they're coming to me, there's a reason. And so I'll challenge them and I'll just say, okay, let's do it. But let's start tracking it from today, from right now, so that we can see it happening and we can see it working. So they've got the educational proof. Then they've got the testimonial proof. Then they've got the actual doing proof. And I think with that trifecta, it's happened 10 out of 10. Every single person, it will happen.
Yeah. And it, again, those, like, you know, those, like you said, the small wins, it builds up and it's like, okay. And you can actually show them. It's like, okay, take a look at this, because you've got proof now. Right. And then it's like, oh shit, the stuff that she's preaching is working. Okay.
And if they're skeptical, there's a reason why. So I'll always say, like, why don't you believe in it? Well, because I've never seen it work. Okay. Here's a bunch of times it has. And well, because I don't, there's no science to back that up. Yeah, there is. There definitely is. So I always go with why they don't believe and help them that way.
Yeah. So one of the things I wanted to ask you about the idea of free will and choice. Mm. And when it comes to this type of work, because there is a part of our soul's journey, and this gives them a little more spiritual on this aspect, is that my soul comes into this existence with a set of lessons it wants to learn and to certain things it wants to experience. And then, you know, I always say the good Lord has another, we always have our idea what we want to be doing. But then there's always say, I always say the good Lord's got something else in store for us. So when it comes to things like, you know, the law of attraction, wanting things, where does our free will come in? Like, what, how much of our free will is part of getting the things that we think that we want?
Well, we have the free will to follow inspired action or not. And that's the most important part of free will that comes into this.
Okay.
We have our free will to execute what we do. So your inspired action might come as this aha idea. How are you going to do it? How are you going to go about that? So that's our free will. We have the choice. We always have a series of choices every single day that either take us closer to what we want or take us farther away from what we want. And usually, if a sickness happens, if somebody's life comes crashing down or whatever, you can almost, and I don't want to blanket statement this, but I've had a lot of cases, overwhelming amount of cases in my personal life and practice, where you can track the amount of times they were not going along with what they knew to be better. And I feel as though our inner being or our higher self, which I just say is our authentic self, really underneath all the filters and underneath all of that, our authentic self knows best. And if we don't follow that for a period of time, it will force us to do something. So I had, you know, there'd been amazing cases in my practice that I've seen happen where someone was not willing to stop doing whatever physical activity, and then a freak accident happens and both ankles are broken. And, you know, I've had it happen in my own life. I was determined to do this physical thing in my body every day. And my mind gave me clear, it seemed like little hints, but I look back and it was clear of like, you need more rest. Now I'm fine, I'm fine. And all of a sudden my calf tear and a ligament tears. And so now I'm sitting on my butt. So I think our free will plays a big role, but I think it can hinder us more than help us if we allow it to take free rein, really. I think our free will is a tool that we can use to really help ourselves.
Okay. So what are some of the things that we can do right now? So people, I mean, obviously, I want people to tune into you and take your course and stuff like that. So of course, cause that's, you know, gotta, you know, help my peeps out here, my little community, but at the same time too, what kind of things can people do, or are there certain books that they can read that maybe inspire them to kind of look into this information a little bit deeper that you have read or that have inspired you?
Yeah. So on the more metaphysical side, so I really have an answer to this from everyone's perspective. If they are, I'm science and I don't believe in metaphysical stuff very much, but I have an inkling and I want to look into it more, but I need the hard truth, I would go Joe Dispenza, because he teaches the science and just enough. So it's not this huge convoluted thing. So Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself and You Are the Placebo are two books by Joe Dispenza that I highly, highly recommend, that gives you the basics of exactly what is behind all of this educationally. And then on the more what people would say woohoo side, which I really love, is Abraham Hicks. It's the Law of Attraction Collection by Abraham Hicks is unbelievably good. Maybe people don't like reading. They don't want to sit and read a book. Go to YouTube and type in Joe Dispenza, type in Abraham Hicks. And maybe if you have a specific problem, type in Joe Dispenza on weight loss, Abraham Hicks on entrepreneur, whatever someone's really wanting. And you'll get hundreds and hundreds of free audios that really help to give you a basis. So really all that my health program is what it is. It's always been the same, but this aspect of it is just years and years and years of exhausting every avenue of listening and reading and really piecing it together in a step-by-step way. But those, and then there's another book called The Divine Matrix by Greg Braden. And yeah, it's,
I love Greg.
Fabulous. Molecules of Emotion.
Really Candace good. Pert. Yeah.
Candace Pert. Yeah. That's a really good book as well. And then Bruce Lipton.
You're going old school here. You're getting,
yeah. I've done a lot of, I basically, every time I get interested in something, I try to find everything on the earth about that thing.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's like flashbacks, you know, when I first started, like when you start into this, like you just read, you're just so into it and all the different books and all the different great authors and stuff like that. Yeah. Bruce Lipton. Yeah. You know, that's The Biology of Belief. That was a great book too. It's like reminiscing row. It's like, oh, and I think yeah. I still got him. I'm looking over at my books over there. I think I still got a lot of his. I had to get rid of so many books. Like I had too many books. So I started donating them to friends and stuff like that. And I really like, I'm a big fan of Joe Dispenza's work. So let's talk just briefly about Joe.
Yeah.
And his work about meditation. That's kind of the core principle, a lot of what he talks about. How do you incorporate that in your work with your clients?
Not so much. So basically with Joe, he can be really hard for a lot of people to reach. For some reason, a lot of people don't resonate with his meditations, and he'll say that right out loud at his retreats. He'll say, I know a lot of people hate me for these meditations, but they can be hard to do.
I've heard that from so many people. Like you start talking about meditations. Oh, you hear Dr. I can't stand his voice.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this guy's voice just like, and then there's the space.
I know.
And it's like between the space. And people are like, oh my God, just like, oh, I can't do his meditations. But you know, it's interesting. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Because
you've
100%. If I had a nickel for every time someone said that to me, I'd be so rich. But it's true. So, and Abraham Hicks is very unreachable to a lot of people too, because she's very out there. But you know, it's so I kind of take pieces of what I know works that anyone can actually reach, and from all of them, and I smash it up into my own guided meditations that I teach people, or I'll let them, if they prefer not to use a guided meditation, I will let them do what resonates with them. But I give very specific guidelines of what works, because Joe teaches this breath, and that's very challenging for some people. And some people have a lot, like I work with obviously severe health cases as well. A lot of people can't do that breath. It's just not possible, or it causes extreme pain for them or whatever. You don't have to do the breath, and you don't have to. All you need to do is somehow figure out how to spend enough time with yourself. To me, that's what meditating is, but spend enough time with yourself that you can come to make believe that you already XYZ, and what that feels like mentally and emotionally. It will happen with enough practice. So I don't teach his work. I teach aspects of all of them. I would say I did a lot of trial and error with myself and others before I launched this part of my program. So I'll just take what I know works and that anyone can reach.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard the same thing. Like, I mean, cause you kind of, you get the message, you know, the idea. I mean, Joe's done some incredible work. I mean, I'm always a total big fan of his, of course. I've always recommended his work on depending on the individual and stuff like that. And of course, you know, Esther Hicks, the OG of channeling and, you know, all those good things. So yeah, like some of it could be a little too out there, and it's nice that you can boil it down and you can cherry pick some of the good stuff. And that's one of the great things about it. Kelly, we're out of time.
I could talk about this forever.
I know you can. And that's the great thing. That's why I wanted you on, because, you know, it's such a great thing because it's all about inspiring people. And you are very much one of those people who inspires people to make changes in your life. That's what you're dedicated to. So I really appreciate it. And I know my listeners are going to appreciate that too, as well. But that being said, Kelly, where can they find you? So you have the floor for a couple of minutes here to pitch yourself. Where's all your TikTok, your Instagram, all that good stuff, your courses? Give me a lowdown here.
All right. So I'm everywhere. I do not operate a website, so you'll find me on all of the socials. It's at Kick It With Kelly. Sometimes on Instagram and TikTok, there's a dot between each word. So at Kick It With Kelly, period between each word. I run two main courses, and they are about your entire mind, body. So no matter what health, wellness, or body image challenge anyone is dealing with, it's going to stem from an imbalance of one or more of six foundational principles of biological human health. And if you incorporate each of those, and you don't even have to do it 100%, but the human body will self-correct. And the number one is that mental emotional aspect. So very important. I'm actually running a challenge for the month of November, which is strictly about getting in touch with your authentic self and exactly the tools, education, guidance, and experience of exactly how to create the life that you want and the self that you've always wanted. So that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's that self-mastery course that you're doing.
Yeah, it's called the Ultimate Life Self-Mastery Challenge. That is beginning November 1st, and people can inquire into that. There's links in my bios, but you can send me an email to kelly@kickitwithkelly.com, and I will send the access link. Yeah.
Perfect. And I'll have all that information in the video description below. So for those who are listening, this is, again, this is going to be a pre-recorded show. So you'll probably be listening a little bit later. So, but I'm sure she'll be running that course again.
Oh yeah.
Again, because
you can reach out anytime.
Yeah. Reach out anytime. And I'll make sure I have all the links that you can do that. You know, I'm the same way. I don't have a website too, as well. It's a little bit of pain in the ass. That's just
with law of attraction. You don't need a website.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. And that's my excuse. So somebody asked me that, I got a lot, you know, Kelly says I don't need one, right? That's all that matters. And she knows things. Kelly, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm glad you're on the show today. And I really thank you for being on the show today.
You're welcome. I'm so grateful to you. Thank you so much. I love the podcast. I love all the stuff you do. It's so good.
Oh, thank you. And well, it's because of people like you that make it so good. You know what I'm saying? That's what happened. So that being said, everybody, I'm just going to close off the podcast here. This has been the Metaphysical Mentor Podcast with Michael Philbott. Thank you so much for tuning in, and goodbye for now.